Greetings. Welcome to Module 4 of the Bridge Qualitative Research Microcourse. This module will address qualitative data analysis. I'm your instructor, Brenna Bray. I have a PhD in biomedical science and neuroscience and postdoctorate training in complementary and integrative health through the Bridge R90 T90 fellowship program that focused on qualitative research. In this module, we'll cover qualitative data analysis. And specifically, we will cover thematic analysis, consensual qualitative research, and data analysis tools. We'll start by getting into thematic analysis, and we'll focus on Braun and Clark's six phases of thematic analysis. So, data familiarization, initial code generation, searching for themes, reviewing themes, defining and naming themes, and producing the report. Then we'll get into Hill's three steps of consensual qualitative research. And this will be dividing responses into domains, constructing core ideas within each domain, and cross-analysis. And then finally, we'll talk about some data analysis tools. And these will include Invivo, Deduce, Microsoft Office, and Google Sheets. Here's a little overview from the syllabus. So here's the content we're going to be covering. We will be pulling primarily from Barrio-Mitten and Lenz's Chapter 7, Section 4, which addresses qualitative data analysis, and from LIMS 2024 publication, pages 20 to 24 and 26 to 30. Of course, we'll have a quiz after this module. That quiz will have 10 questions. It'll be worth 20 points, so 20% of your overall grade. And in this module, it's unique in that we actually have two quizzes. So the second quiz is a coding experience. You're going to be able to practice a little bit of coding. That quiz will have seven questions. It'll be worth 12 points, so 12% of your grade. And again, each quiz you can take an unlimited number of times, and you need an 80% or greater to pass each quiz, each module, and the course overall. By the end of this module, you should be able to design, plan, conduct, record, and analyze qualitative research. You should be able to identify six key phases of thematic analysis. You should be able to communicate benefits and strengths of consensual qualitative approaches, distill multi-step analytic processes to their essence, identify common methods of analyzing qualitative data, and critique studies using qualitative methodology of surveys for needs assessments, process evaluations, and satisfaction estimates, which are covered in Module 1. So let's get started. Thematic analysis can really be broken down into six steps, and there are no shortage of figures or steps or schematics that are available online to kind of depict the different stages of thematic analysis. This isn't the formal six steps, but we have, ultimately gathering your data, collecting data, reading all the data from beginning to end, so just going through the data, immersing in it. And then coding the text based on what it's about. So identifying codes, which we'll talk about later, coding the data. That might be through highlighting, post-it notes, notes, or we might use a more organized software system like Deduce or Excel. Then we'll create new codes to encapsulate potential themes, take a break for the day, and then evaluate our themes for good fit. Then repeat as needed. And when we get into reflexive thematic analysis or consensual thematic analysis or consensual qualitative research, usually we'll have more than one investigator doing this. So there will be steps that include talking with other investigators and then going back reflexively to review the data. Ultimately, these steps can really be distilled into three main phases: collecting qualitative data, coding. So then we have our codes. And then iterative comparison, right? So comparing our codes with those of other researchers, reflexively engaging with the data until we have identified themes, and then publishing those. So this is figure five from Braun and Clark's 2006 publication, Thematic Analysis. Actually, sorry, excuse me. This is figure five from LIMS 2024 publication, What is Qualitative Research? An Overview and Guidelines. And it really describes the six phases of thematic analysis that Braun and Clark identify in their 2006 publication on value-based reporting of qualitative research. So here these stages are: stage one, familiarization with the data, just really get to know the data. Then we're going to categorize the data into codes and engage in an iterative or repetitive cycle to refine the codes. Stage two, then we generate our initial codes. And then we're going to engage in abstraction of codes to themes. So we can think of codes as the micro units that make up a theme. So if our theme is food, our codes might be banana, apple, pear, cucumber, broccoli. There's going to be a middle step in there of categories. So if our codes are banana, pear, apple, cucumber, broccoli, we might have categories of fruit and vegetables, and then our code is going to be food. So stage three, we're going to search for themes. Then we're going to compare and contrast those themes across researchers, right? So usually we're going to have more than one researcher engaging in this process at first independently. And then when we're engaging in reflexive thematic data analysis, two investigators will go off, they'll each familiarize themselves with the data, they'll generate initial codes, they'll engage with the data, identify themes, and then they'll come back together and they'll review those themes together. That's not always how it's done if we're engaging in just traditional thematic analysis that's maybe not consensual or reflexive. Maybe there's just one researcher. We're still going to review those themes by ourselves, but ideally, we will have more than one researcher on the team who's engaging in this process. So we're going to review our themes, then we're going to dimensionalize the themes with relevant characteristics. We're going to define and name the themes. Then we're going to integrate the themes into a thematic map and engage in a refutation exercise as a cross-checking mechanism. So we're just going to kind of see how everything works together. And then in stage six, we'll report those themes. And we will crystallize the themes by articulating meanings and patterns of meanings that produce the phenomenon using metaphors, irony, and other tropes. So now let's get into the nitty-gritty of really what thematic analysis is, and maybe we should have led with this. So here I'll just point out we've got these same six steps, just shown in a different visual. So familiarize yourself with the data, generate initial codes, search for themes, review potential themes, define the names, define and name the themes, and produce a report. So what is thematic analysis? Thematic analysis is an iterative process of connecting individual pieces of data within transcripts or documents to codes, connecting the codes to themes, connecting the themes to each other, and supporting overall analysis with use of specific pieces of data. What does iterative mean? Iterative just refers to a process that involves repeating a sequence of operations or procedures. So it's a repetitive process of connecting individual pieces of data to codes, so coding data, and then connecting codes to themes and connecting themes to one another. Thematic analysis is a foundational qualitative analysis method. It helps organize and describe data in detail across broad ranges of methodological frameworks. So it's generally inherent to a lot of qualitative methods. And it really helps to maintain rigor and validity. Again, there are six basic steps of thematic analysis: data familiarization, code generation, thematic search or identification. So we generate codes and we identify themes, we review the themes, we define and name the themes, and then we report the themes through publications or presentations. And these are just these phases in a little bit more detail. So when we're familiarizing ourselves with the data, there are several steps at which we will do this. We will become familiar with the data when we conduct interviews. Then we'll usually transcribe those interviews, the interview transcripts. So we'll transcribe that data. Then we'll read and reread the data, the transcripts, and we'll begin to note initial ideas. Then, once we're pretty familiar with the data, we're going to start to generate codes. This is an interesting, codes are, excuse me, interesting features of the data And we kind of code them in a systematic fashion across the entire data set, collecting data relevant to each code. So we're just kind of noticing, maybe words or phenomenons or kind of mini micro themes that we identify across transcripts. And these would be codes. So once we start to notice them, we'll code them and we'll look for them in other data sets, other transcripts as well. That kind of gets us into the next phase of our theme search, where we collate our codes into potential themes and we gather all relevant data that is relevant to each potential theme. From there, once we have all relevant data collected, we're going to start to review the themes and test them. So we'll ask, do they work in relation to the code extracts and the entire data set? And then we might start to map the themes. Now, this process, step four, is really kind of the girth of qualitative analysis. This is a pretty big step, even though it looks pretty simple here, where we're starting to identify themes, we're going to test them, see how the codes work within the themes. And there's a lot of this step can be really messy. There can be a lot of rearranging going on in this step where maybe we have a code. That we think is in one theme, and then we decide, no, this code is actually its own theme, and here's the codes within that theme. So there's just a lot of rearranging going on there. Once we have our themes pretty set, then we start to define and name the themes, and that's this phase five. So we're going to continue in our ongoing analysis. We're going to continue to refine the specifics of each theme and the overall story, and then generating clear definitions and names for each theme. And then finally, in phase six, we're going to produce our report. This is kind of the final opportunity for analysis. We're going to select vivid, compelling extract examples. This will be the final analysis of the selected extracts. And then we're going to connect the analysis to the research questions and to the literature. And we're going to do that really in the discussion section of our manuscript. And we'll get into that in module five. So ultimately, we're going to produce a scholarly report or a manuscript of the analysis. And again, this phase, producing the report, we're really going to dive into more in module five. So this is a schematic, again, from LIMS 2024 publication, What is Qualitative Research? This is figure two, and it's looking at grounded theory, which we covered in module two, through the lens of the three C's of qualitative analysis or thematic analysis. What are the three C's? Collection, coding, and comparison. So here we collect the data, then we code the data, and then we compare the data. And let me go through this process a little bit more. So as we start to acquire and collect data and familiarize ourselves with it, we'll start with open coding, and open coding is just generating basic codes. So we'll look at disaggregate data, we'll identify specific concepts or issues, then we'll start to label those concepts or issues, then we'll go back and identify them, we'll go back and look at the data, right? So this is a really iterative, reflexive process. Once we've got our initial codes, then we're going to move into axial coding, which is really identifying categories. So we might have our individual concepts or issues, our individual codes, and we'll start to identify categories that our individual concepts, issues, or codes can fit into. Once we've got that, then we'll label the categories and we'll move into selective coding. And this is really where we identify our themes. So in this process here, we're seeing open coding, axial coding, and selective coding. And that really just describes the process we use to go from codes to categories to themes, right? And so our codes would be our individual units. The categories would be the groups that the individual units can fit in. And the themes would be the larger groups that categories can fit into. Once we finish that piece, that coding piece, then we can move on to comparison. So we'll use theoretical sensing, theoretical sampling, theoretical saturation, and theoretical synthesis. So this is where we're going to engage in those types of data saturation. And we're going to compare our findings both to the literature, to other groups, other categories, other themes, and to those of other researchers. So we've got another little schematic here on phenomenology, and we went through this in module one. So I'll just kind of hold off on going through this for now. But again, just to reiterate, with phenomenology, when we're really exploring lived experiences, we'll have the experiences that we might observe or note. These might be things like emotion, thought, memory, imagination, desire, volition. And then we'll have things that we note. Body awareness, embodied action, social activity, other, objects, time, self, people. And we're applying our consciousness to this process of experiences and things and making meaning of experiences and things. And then now coding fits in here because this is kind of how we operationally define our meaning units, our units of meaning. And go back. Okay, I think we've covered this. So LIMS text provides a even greater detail on this process of going from open to axial to selective coding. So here we might have pages in a text. Maybe, we're looking at a book and we're looking at pages 200 to 300. We're going to start to identify open codes, just codes within those pages. And we might have 20 to 50 codes when we're done. And then, as we start to categorize our codes, we might end up with maybe 5 to 20 categories that these codes fit into. And then, as we identify themes, ultimately, we're going to end up with about 3 to 5 themes. And usually, 3 to 5 themes is about the appropriate amount that we're going to want to include in a single publication or report. We can do more. I've published up to, I think, 11 themes in a manuscript, but that can be a little bit long. Ideally, if we can keep our themes to like 3 to 5, that's really kind of ideal. And here's a more detailed example, again, from LIMS 2024 text. And this shows kind of a surface mapping example of open, axial, and selective codes in healthy consumer lifestyle research. So let's say they're going through, whatever sources they're using to collect their data. Maybe they're going through interview data or reports, whatever it is. And they're starting to identify these codes that they associate with, healthy consumer lifestyle research. So we've got apple, orange, banana, cucumber, tomato, broccoli, cauliflower, carrot, beef, chicken, lamb, mutton, pork, cycling, swimming, basketball, football, weightlifting, Pilates, and yoga. Now, one thing that you can notice right off the bat, and this is often true of thematic analysis, is that sometimes you can identify the themes before you identify the categories. And that's totally fine. So, right off the bat, one thing that I notice is the top half of these codes all seem to be kind of food, and the bottom half all seem to be kind of exercises. And that really aligns with our two themes, right? This first theme here has been identified as meal, and the lower theme is physical activity. And then within between our themes and codes, we have our categories. So we've got fruits. These would be apple, orange, banana, cucumber, and tomato are included as fruits. Then we've got vegetables. So that would be broccoli, cauliflower, and carrot. Then we've got meats. So that would be beef, chicken, lamb, mutton, pork. And then we switch over to our codes that are in the theme of physical activity. So we've got cardiovascular exercises. That would be cycling and swimming. We've got team sports, that would be basketball and football. We've got strength training, that would be weightlifting. And we've got balance and flexibility, and that would be Pilates and yoga. One note, in the coding exam, so the second exam or quiz for this module, we've got a coding activity that uses very similar codes. And I just want to make the point that I do believe that we have cucumber mentioned in there, and I have it coded as a vegetable. So, if you're doing that coding activity, please consider cucumber a vegetable. And if tomato is in there, you might want to do the same thing with tomato. So, here's just another panel showing the sophisticated level of mapping and an example of open, axial, and selective coding, again, in healthy consumers' lifestyles. So, here we've just got kind of a different set of open codes. Oh, and actually, let me go back. So, I'll just read here. Once we've got our two themes, then we can start to develop a theory about the theme. So we might say meal and physical activity of consumers are core to a healthy consumer lifestyle. And here we're seeing meals and physical activity mutually influence each other, i.e., a processor relationship. For example, healthier meals can enhance participation in and performance of physical activities, while the interest in and the desire to improve physical activity and performance can motivate healthier meal choices. And then here's another example. So here we've got for our open codes, we're looking at emotional triggers for unhealthy eating, emotional eating patterns, coping mechanisms for stress, impacts of stress on eating habits, awareness of dietary guidelines, knowledge of nutritional information, complexity in meal planning, lack of time for healthy cooking. And from here, the categories or axial codes that we've identified are emotional eating, which makes sense. We've got emotional triggers, emotional eating, stress management, which makes sense. We've got coping mechanisms for stress, impacts of stress on eating habits, nutritional knowledge. So this would be awareness of dietary guidelines and knowledge of nutritional information, and time management. And this would include complexity in meal planning and lack of time for healthy cooking. And then from these four categories, we can identify two themes. And these themes would be psychological processes, so a process theory of healthy consumer lifestyle, and practical processes. Sorry, so psychological processes and practical processes. And together, we would start to identify a theory or a process theory of healthy consumer lifestyles. So here, the theory is psychological processes and practical processes mutually influence each other. This theory posits that a healthy consumer lifestyle is influenced by an interplay of psychological processes and practical processes, which mutually influence each other in shaping healthy behaviors. To illustrate, stress can lead to poor time management, which in turn exacerbates stress and unhealthy eating habits. And conversely, effective time management can reduce stress, promoting healthier eating habits. This example shows a two-sided mutual influence, how stress can negatively impact time management and diet, and how effective time management can alleviate stress and improve eating habits. So that's thematic analysis. Now we're going to switch over and touch on consensual qualitative research. So, what is consensual qualitative research? Well, it's a qualitative method that focuses on the use of multiple researchers and the process of reaching consensus through systematic examination of representativeness of results or codes across cases. So the kind of process of face validity. There are eight key components of consensual qualitative research. And these are: one, it uses open-ended questions to avoid constraining responses. And this is fairly central to all qualitative research, as we've already identified. Words are used to describe phenomenon as opposed to numbers. So again, fairly central to all qualitative research. A small number of cases are studied intensely. Again, central to qualitative research. Entire cases are used to understand specific parts of an experience. And the process is inductive. So conclusions are built from data rather than imposing and testing an a priori structure or theory, which would be deductive. So down here we have inductive, forming general theories from specific observations. So observing a repeated experience and concluding it will happen again, versus deductive, which is forming specific conclusions from general premises. So everyone in group X has feature Y, thus patient N in group X has feature Y. That would be deductive. Now, these five components of the eight are all, again, central to qualitative research pretty broadly. Six, analytical decisions are made by a primary team of 3 to 5 researchers to ensure a variety of opinions are used. And consensus enables the best possible construct for all data. Now, this component is specific to consensual research. It may occur in other types of qualitative research, but it's really this component of having more than one researcher, so a team who are engaging in this analytic process. Seven, one or two auditors are used to check consensus judgments, ensure the primary team doesn't overlook important data. And again, this piece, the use of auditors, is really specific to consensual qualitative research. And then eight, the primary team continually engages in the raw data reflexively to ensure the results and conclusions are accurate. And again, that piece also, we do see this in reflexive thematic analysis where there might be, there's reflexive engagement with the data, certainly, and even if there's one or two researchers involved. But again, more broadly, so consensual research is really research that includes a team of 3 to 5 researchers. There are three general steps of consensual qualitative research. And again, these are fairly similar to all qualitative research. So, one, divide open-ended responses from surveys or interviews into domains such as topic ideas. I'm going to pause this for a second and cough. Give me one moment. Two, construct core ideas, so from abstracts or brief summaries for all material within each domain from each individual case. And then three, cross-analyze and develop categories to describe to describe consistencies in core ideas within domains across cases. So again, collect responses, divide open-ended responses into domains, construct core ideas, and then cross-analyze. Indicators of good qualitative design. And here we've got best in show over on the left. So I think we have two sides of indicators of good qualitative design. So these are kind of like guidelines. The study purpose and focus are well defined and logically connected. There's a logical connection of the study purpose, the research questions, and the analytic strategy, right? So are you very clear in the purpose of the research? Are you very clear in the research question? And does the design or the analysis process fit the research question and purpose? Key informants and data sources are appropriate for the study purpose and focus. And this gets back to what we addressed in module one, the importance of key informants. Data collection procedures are clearly described and are appropriate for the study aims. And trustworthiness protections are clearly described. So, this is really including the content that we've gone over in modules one through four at this point, or one through three. Ethical protections are clearly described. Processes for qualitative data analysis are clearly described. Findings are supported with direct quotations and illustrative stories or illustrative stories. The frequency, prevalence, and weight or intensity of findings are reported. Now, this would be these last two pieces would be kind of more in the results section. And tables and visual depictions support reporting of findings. Now, I just want to go back and look over these two slides of good quality indicators again and start to get into some content that we'll address more in the next module, in module five, on when we go to report this data. So, the study purpose and focus are well defined and logically connected. This would be something that we communicate in the introduction and background section of a manuscript. A logical connection of the study purpose, research question, and analytic strategy. Again, this was something we would include in the background or introduction section of our manuscript. Key informants and data sources are appropriate for the study purpose and focus. Now, we might touch on this a little bit in our introduction or background section, but we would also really identify this in our methods section. Why did we choose the informants and the data sources that we did, and how are they linked to our study purpose and focus? Data collection procedures are clearly described and appropriate for the study aims. And now, again, this we would address in our methods section. So, what data collection procedures or methods did we use, and are they appropriate? Trustworthiness protections are clearly described. Of course, this is going to go in our methods section as well. Ethical protections are clearly described. That's also going to go in our methods section. The process for qualitative data analysis is clearly described. Again, that's going to go in our methods section. And then now we're moving into our results section. So our findings are supported with direct quotations and illustrative stories. That's going to be in our results section of our manuscript. Frequency, prevalence, and weight or intensity of findings are reported. That's also going to go in our results section. Tables and visual depictions are support. Tables and visual depictions support reporting of findings. That's also those tables, visual depictions are going to go in our results section. And then in module five, we'll touch a little bit more on what might be in the discussion section. So last but not least, the last kind of piece of this module, there are some different tools that you can use to support data analysis. And the Barrio Mittenlands textbook talks about these in a little bit greater depth. There's InVivo. I've shown a screenshot of InVivo here on the left. You can access InVivo at lumavero.com/products/InVivo. That is a software system that is dedicated to qualitative research. And I thought there was actually one more piece here, but that's okay. InVivo, though, is quite expensive. There are other free or open source software options. And then there are also subscription-based software options. And one example of subscription-based software options would be Deduce, which you can access at deduce.com. Deduce is a cross-platform app for analyzing qualitative and mixed methods research with text, photos, audio, videos, spreadsheets, data, and more. And you can see just a little screenshot of what it kind of looks like. It enables individual and team analyses. It uses a subscription-based model, so it's $10.95 per month. And then there are also more free options. So you can use Excel or Google Sheets documents. These are often used to manage coding processes, naming processes. You can color code themes, categories, supporting data or quotes. You can organize themes and categories and quantify endorsement and frequency rates. And I will say that when I began my qualitative research processes, I think I started in Deduce, and then we pretty quickly moved to Word, Microsoft Word and Excel documents. I actually found that to be simpler. And I've just provided a little example here of how you might model an Excel document. So you might have your codes and then your themes and your sub-themes. And over here, you might have a column to provide example quotes that support the quote, the code. And you might swap these around. You might, call your sub themes categories and include them in column C and themes in column D, but that's kind of the gist. So we did it. We completed module four. Now you can orient to the quizzes. Remember, there are two quizzes or exams for this module that you can engage in. You have an unlimited number of opportunities to take these quizzes or engage with them. You do need an 80% or greater on each individual quiz to pass the quiz and to pass the module.